Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Golden, golden, golden. Living my life like it's golden. Yes, because I am the sunlight. L-I-G-H-T. Yes, this is the Dr. Jewel Hour. Oh my goodness, what a wonderful life it is having Dr. Jewel justifiably enchanted with enlightened living right here on the Jewel Network. That's right, through blogtalkradio.com, blogtalk, B-L-O-G, talkradio.com. And please, let me let you know, the Jewel Network, it brings us great pleasure to be alive at this juncture of advancement for civilization. The time is here where high-quality information for those ready to metamorphize into their next phase of growth and development, it is here upon us now. We have been inspired by the findings from personal research as well as from the data shared with us from the wisdom and intellect of others that a cohesive, fact-finding, truth emanating high-tech continuous stream of transformative information is to be made available to the world at this time. And you can get it nowhere else but right here on thejewelnetwork.com with yours truly during the Dr. Jewel Hour. Dr. Jewel, how are you this evening?
Greetings, everyone. I am just great, and it is a fabulous day to be in a physical body and to be able to speak with the world about such wonderful, intriguing things that affect us now and in our future. I'm just ecstatic.
It's beautiful. Yes, life is beautiful. We are light, L-I-G-H-T. Oh, and it's so beautiful to have such a consciousness that is light. We have light hearts, light minds. We are light. It's beautiful.
Well, yeah, you know, I was talking to you earlier, R.A., and, you know, as we normally do, we get together and we discuss what we want to share, and we decided that we would talk about AA today.
AA.
Yeah, and that is not Alcoholics Anonymous, even though one day we may comment on that, but this is about attitude and aging, attitude and aging. And it's very interesting because, you know, R.A., I sent you a picture of Jaja Gabor.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, she's made the news today because she fell and she broke her hip. And she is in her 90s and she had to have surgery to mend her hip. And so what was so interesting is to look at her now and look at her as she has existed in earlier times, and the question is, what has happened to the body that she's possessed that has been raved about as being extremely attractive? So it says here that she was born in approximately 1917 or somewhere between 1917 and 1919. And therefore, she's somewhere in her 90s, and we are seeing a significant deterioration in her health. Now, as you know, I am an advocate of immortality. I have discovered the Postillion, Fountain of Youth. It is a state of consciousness. How about that?
Yep.
It is a state of consciousness. It is an attitude. And with the proper attitude, the actual fountain of youth, known as the bloodstream, will constantly rejuvenate and regenerate the tissues of the body every 24 hours. Every 24 hours, your bloodstream will regenerate and rejuvenate your tissues. However, what dictates and determines the quality of the bloodstream? the sacred waters of life. That's what the bloodstream is. And it is your attitude, how you are thinking, what you are thinking about, how you are integrating and interpreting the experiences that your thoughts have created. And one of the things that we have definitely discovered is every scientist can tell you that the blood standardly wants to always remain at a pH of 7. That pH of neutrality allows all of the mechanisms, exchange mechanisms, the physiologic reactions to occur so that the cell constantly renews itself. And when the blood has difficulty or is totally stopped from returning to its standard state of neutrality, the alkalinity or the acidity of the blood begins to dissolve the connective tissues that hold the tissues in place on the body. The connective tissue or the collagen system of the body that holds the tissues onto the muscles, on the fat onto the muscles, onto the bone, et cetera, literally begins to dissolve. So what we have found is that when individuals begin to think in a polarized way, oh, this is good, and oh, that's bad, or oh, that's not right, or that's wrong, or ooh, that's so positive, or that is just really negative.
But so wait a minute.
No, they don't recognize that they have just moved the quality of their blood from being neutral into a polarized state that is, if left for significant amount of time, will actually dissolve the connective tissue, and they will begin to look like melting candles.
But Dr. Jewel, you just invalidated religion by saying there is no right, there is no wrong, we need to stay neutral. When, I mean, but God said this is right, this is, and that is wrong, and this is good, and this is evil. So that's polarized thinking, and you're saying I shouldn't validate or live by that anymore?
Well, this is what's so wonderful about being a manifestation of God, is that you can do what you select to do, and you will live to see the results of your selection, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it's like, you know, everybody gets mystified when they recognize that here I am, I got pictures of myself, I'm in my 20s, I'm in my 30s, I'm looking great. Okay, I see little changes in the 40s, you know, 50s, and by 60s, you know, it's like, well, we're not really able to recognize ourselves. Why? And it comes from, oh, am I just only eating wheatgrass juice and brown rice and you know, alfalfa sprouts, or
right.
Am I only just drinking wheatgrass juice, or, you know, is it because I'm, you know, eating steaks or fish, or because I do like pizza, or is it because I'm eating chocolate, or it's really none of that. It is the attitude that, because beyond the meal, what is happening? You're not eating 24 hours a day. The body is not digesting 24 hours a day. Let me qualify that in most people. Therefore, what is the consistent substance that is in the bloodstream for most people while they are conscious? And it is what they are thinking. And if their thoughts are polarizing, they're seeing an experience and they're judging it or they're criticizing it, etc., then they keep the bloodstream in a polarized state. And then with whatever it is that they're eating on top of it, really takes the pH to an extreme, very acidic or very alkaline. And therefore, that just enhances and accelerates the dissolution or dissolution of the connective tissue. And the skin and the muscles, everything just begins to slide out of place until the time that you're 65, 70 years old, you don't even recognize yourself because everything has slid out of place and is hanging and sagging. This was not a natural occurrence. There are no weaknesses in the human body, only weaknesses in how you think about the human body.
Mm. And so the universal law behind that, dealing with beliefs and illusions, your beliefs are your experiences. Whatever you believe is what you will experience.
No question about it, because that's the image that you're holding for the body to actualize. So you have to ask yourself then, of course, you're like, well, just by saying something is positive, is polarizing, yes, it is. Because why can't everything be positive as far as you're concerned? Or why do you even, the real question is, why do you even have to have an opinion? See, that's the key. If you're in a neutral state and that neutrality allows your tissues to carry on all the metabolic functions necessary to digest your meals, to basically create the proteins, the vitamins, the fatty acids, and everything that you need to sustain your tissues, your brain, et cetera, why do you have to even have an opinion? What do you want to accomplish? And whatever that is, you hold the vision of that, the picture of it. And then when you see an indication that you should take action, you do that. But where does any of that require you to have an opinion? It doesn't. What you want to accomplish in life is what? What you want to accomplish in life. It should be fulfilling to you. You should, well, let me say this. I would imagine that to use your sacred brain and your tissues, you would want to be excited about what you're creating. You would want it to be significant to you and important, and therefore you are totally committed to having this experience for you, okay? So therefore, what other people think about it really is not important. A healthy, balanced individual is not create and bring harm to other people, because they now know the order of the universe is I am the microcosm and the world is the macrocosm. It's just a bigger reflection of me. So if I'm going to be hurting other people, you will be hurting yourself. So a balanced person would not even create anything that's going to bring harm to other people, because they know the harm comes right back to the source, to them.
So wait a minute. You're talking about if I have a mood, a temperament, or an attitude, because that's what you call this, AA, when I have an opinion and I make a judgment and I put that out into the atmosphere, that is going to impact me more than it impacts somebody else, and it will cause me to age more than it will do to the atmosphere or stratosphere?
Well, let's just really simplify the cascade of events that happens within you before anyone else experience the results of your thinking. For you as a field of consciousness,
mm-hmm,
with information, you have a vehicle that consciousness known as mind has encumbered, has totally saturated, and you call that your body. Now, this body has master computerized locations on it that are responsible for ensuring that what you are thinking is translated to the body. And that translation, the language of the body, is chemistry. So you have a plexus of nerve cells whose responsibility is to make a chemical analog that directly translates your thought in the form of chemistry so that the body can comprehend what it is you're thinking. So you have a couple of these locations. The master largest complex of this translating capability is in the skull, known as the brain. Then you also have a plexus around the heart. So you have a heart brain. You also have a plexus around the gut, known as the gut brain. So we'll just talk about these three major sites. And these all have neuronal capabilities. And the fourth one is, guess what? Your skin. The skin is a modified nerve. People don't recognize that. It's the modified nerve.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these four locations of computerized tissue that can take and transform other energy fields into the universal language of the body known as chemistry. That's released into the bloodstream, through the nerves, through the fluid, in the brain, around the spinal canal, so that the cells, under all circumstances, will get the directives from the brain via the mind.
So, put a bookmark there. Let me let you know that you are listening to the Jewel Network, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living, thejewelnetwork.com on blogtalkradio.com. Now we're talking about computerized chemistry within our bodies. Go ahead, Dr. Jewel, continue.
Well, we're talking about a computer that gives a printout in the form of chemicals, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, those chemicals are absorbed by the cells, and then they then translate what they're supposed to do based on that chemistry and then take action. And so thousands of cells that have committed themselves to work in a uniform way comprise what's known as an organ. And these organs then will work simultaneously with the other organs of the body so that we have something known as health.
Mm.
But it requires a universal environment for all of the organs to communicate and work simultaneously and harmoniously, and that is what the bloodstream, which is the major transit system for all information going to and from the tissues and to and from the tissues and the brain and from the brain to the tissues. And if that major transit system, known as the blood, is not allowed to stay neutral because it is being bombarded with chemicals made by the brain from a mind that is valuing one experience over the other as opposed to staying centered on a destiny,
wow,
on a focus, on a vision, will destroy the vehicle that allows them to interact in this dimension known as the physical body.
That's beautiful, because what you're saying is the thoughts that you think really matter. And when you start thinking a particular way or polarized thinking, your cells will begin to fall away from the bone structure or fall away from your skeleton. So that's why when you get older, if you were constantly thinking attitudinal...
No. See, no, it's not about why you get older. See, there's no such thing as age for the body. If the body was allowed to have a harmonious, healthy environment to regenerate.
Mm.
And because your thoughts do not create a harmonious environment via the bloodstream, the tissues are constantly in stress. They constantly have to figure out how they're going to get their job done in an environment that doesn't support them, in an environment that has a charge, in an
wow,
environment that basically causes the cells to have to utilize resources, reserves, energy to try to keep the bloodstream as neutral as possible so that it can get its basic work done. And therefore, that environment that is so polarized totally dissolves the connective tissue that holds the organs in place. So the skin, which is an organ, slides out of place. The adipose tissue, which is a system, slides out of place. The arteries themselves are burned because of the acidity, the alkalinity that it constantly has to carry. The walls of the arteries are damaged from this constant alteration of pH, and they don't heal. They leave scars on the inside. Therefore, now blood clots form, all kind of matter forms on the inside of the artery, and you get these blockages because of your opinions.
Because of your thoughts.
If your opinions. Instead of you being focused on seeing what you want to achieve and acting accordingly, everything else that's going on around you, you have an opinion on it. And the question that you have to ask yourself is, why do you have to have an opinion? Why do you have to have an opinion on watching someone basically have a drink, or watching someone who basically is wearing a short skirt, or watching someone who may be exercising and flexing their deltoids, or basically looking at a TV. Why do you have to have an opinion? Why can't you just observe it? And you have to understand that that's really interesting, because a lot of the sensationalism and the drama is so extreme that it literally subliminally forces you to make an opinion. For example, I mean, you have to understand, look at a culture who thinks murder, raping, robbing, stealing, being deceitful is entertaining. Those are extreme activities that definitely, by definition, are not in the best interest of everybody involved. By definition, the intent is malice and harm, and we actually pay to be entertained to see that.
Wow.
And the consequences of that is, of course, you've already decided that you know that obviously taking stuff from someone else, there's always going to be a consequence to that. And so with the people who are, what they call them, professional thieves, that they're the ones that are always so enamored and so busy trying to find out the latest technology to monitor what everybody else is doing, because they automatically know that if I've stolen from someone else, then I am now set up to be stolen from. And so I don't want to be in the flow of the circle of events. I want to basically be outside of that circle. And so, therefore, I'll employ all of these technologies and whatever else so that I don't receive what I know I've put in motion to receive. And people don't even see that. So why do the thieves have all the alarm systems and whatever else, and they got the chaperones and the bodyguards and whatever else? Because they know that because they intentionally decided to take someone else's property, that is the experience that must come back to them. And so they try to set in motion that these things won't happen to them. But, of course, we know that it is, because nothing is greater than all of the universes that we're created in the image of. We're the microcosm of all of this greatness. So how can you, who wants to attempt to undermine the order of the universe, be successful? It never happens. But to make these kind of events that are fruitless entertaining says a lot about people and what they're thinking, and obviously it keeps a charge on the blood, and that charge on the blood melts the connective tissue, and you can just go every day to the mirror and watch your tissues slide off of your skeletal system. So, you know, some of you are like, oh, you know, that's just too outrageous. It just can't be that. It just must be natural. Well, you know, we've got people who they tell you, you know, that they don't have opinions about things. They're just glad to be able to see, hear, walk, and talk another day. They cherish everything, and they observe, and they observe, but they don't have an opinion on it, because they recognize that everyone is a creator and is here to learn by and through what it is that they create. And so these people are then able to greet you at 136 years old, et cetera. Many are very older than that, but they have found it difficult to be in the presence of humanity, because humanity, again, does not, or instead I say they're really at war with themselves in respecting and making a decision about what do they really want. Do they really want to live? Or do they really want to have drama and injury to their physical body and eventually to the extent that they can no longer hold on to it, which is what this society calls death.
Mm-hmm.
And they're constantly, they're constantly in that struggle. I mean, you know, and I just find it amazing. We have full series now of, you know, vampires, you know, and it's amazing because, you know, they tell you that we're dead and that, you know, we have more power than you in death than in life. And so don't you want to join us? And that's amazing. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. But, you know, why would a person basically feel that they have to die to be greater than what they were when they had everything going for them? I mean, you know, it's really kind of interesting, and that's why I thought it was important that at this time, as we're looking at the result of so many things happening on the planet and with the planet continuously progressing its evolution,
mm-hmm.
Earth aligned with life, harmonious, perpetual change, yet stability. And individuals who basically have not been clear about the fact that they are 100% devoted to life have really put themselves in peril with being safe on the planet. So they can be at any of those strategic points where the planet is adjusting and be caught up in an earthquake or caught up in a tsunami or any of these events because they had not made a clear decision as to what they were devoted to, and then find out how they can demonstrate the devotion, first of all, to themselves, and then obviously to the planet. So it's attitude that literally has altered the beauty by her standards of Zsa Zsa Gabor. It's the attitude that has basically broke her hip. It's the attitude of individuals that robs your skeletal system of calcium, where you basically are suffering from osteoporosis. They're not telling you this, okay? It's not because you don't really get enough calcium. Our diet has probably more calcium than most people on the planet eat.
Mm-hmm.
But your inability to really interact thoroughly with sunshine and your unwillingness not to categorize, to judge and criticize, has kept your bloodstream in such an acid or alkaline state, not neutral, where the connective tissue just melts in this chronic altered environment.
Mm. So, Dr. Jewel, you made reference to attitude. Now, can I make the parallel between attitude and belief? And you said something about devotion. And so we're dealing with, what do we believe? Are we devoted to ourselves and have faith in who we are? Can we believe that we are immortal? And those that are listening, I see all these people on the phone and in the chat room. And if they're hearing this, I know for some folks it's like water off of a duck's back. Oh, I can't believe that. But then there's other folks, it's like, well, I don't know how much of this I can believe, but they're questioning. So then comes in the belief of self or the faith in oneself. Can you elaborate a little bit more? And before you go there, let me let you know it is 30 minutes past half of the hour. You are listening to thejewelnetwork.com, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living right here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com via the Jewel Network, and this is the Dr. Jewel Hour. And so, Dr. Jewel, I'm just trying to tie in faith, attitude, beliefs, and where folks are at and when they hear this stuff. And I know some folks are not digesting it, or I don't know if I can believe that. Can you address that mindset?
Well, I think if you've been listening to what you've been saying, there's been a key word that's been missing. And that key word is knowingness.
Mm.
Okay, and so, you know, what I've observed is that individuals who do not understand the importance of developing the brain to activating more brain cells, there is a level of awareness that is the ability to interact with consciousness that is below a particular level of frequency or vibration where they are not able to step into and to commit to affirming the vibration that they're on. They don't have the vibration of knowingness. And so, therefore, we know for a fact that the individuals who know are the ones who manifest.
So we have to know. Well, it's up to us to learn, to seek within ourselves. And, Y'all
no,
do
no,
have
no,
to...
no, 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 no.
No?
Okay, no. So you have to understand that I'm talking about a frequency here. I'm talking about a concentration of energy. When we have enough concentrated energy, the frequency is so intense, we create an intensity of chemistry where the cells commit to a standard of action. That is a knowingness. Okay, when people are talking about believing, the cells are being primed to take action, if you want to look at it kind of that way. There's enough chemistry where the cells recognize, oh, you know, I'm supposed to contract here, or I need to make this substance so that, you know, the parts of the cell can do X, Y, and Z. And they're in the process of building up enough concentration to reach a threshold of which finally there's enough of that substance that the cell can take action. That's what a belief is about. But when a person recognizes that they are 100% focused and in alignment with a vision that they want to actualize, they have infused enough energy into the brain that those brain cells make the concentration of directives strong enough where the cells are automatically committed, the act is carried out, and it's over. It is a knowingness. And people don't understand that a belief is a process of getting to the level of knowingness. But the only reason why they're not presently at the level of knowingness is because of their vacillation in what they are seeing and thinking. And so that translates by humanity as insecure or doubts or ambiguity, okay? And that's what that is, but that's all a part of how judging and criticizing diminishes the potency of your capacity to have sound, thorough thoughts that stimulates the brain to make complete instructions of a concentration necessary to demand execution by the cells. And this is all about attitude. That's why when we go into judgment and criticism, we automatically then begin to shift everything in the tissues, and the end result of that is you become dismantled. You lose your shape, you lose your figure, et cetera, because of your ambiguous thinking. Okay, to judge is ambiguous thinking, because for you to make a decision about something else means that you're not focused on what it is that you want to achieve. A person who is in 100% concentrated focus sees nothing else except what they want to manifest.
That's beautiful.
So attitude truly is everything, and it is the chemistry that will allow the bloodstream to naturally caress and awaken the immortal genes into full activity. The bloodstream is also the rough road that, under all circumstances, will never allow the immortal genes to become active. And when that happens, there is no standard repetitive tissue regeneration, and the wear and tear of the chemistry from judging and criticizing will dismantle and destroy the collagen vascular tissues of the body, and everything connected via that system will move out of place and collapse. So now, that's right. So, you know, check this out. Now, look at this. So interesting. All these people that are getting the Botox injections, you know, what does Botox really do? It does what? It paralyzes the muscle so that it cannot respond to what? An opinion, a thought. Isn't that amazing? The muscle becomes fixed and it does not respond to your thoughts, your expressions. And so, therefore, now the face doesn't have the folds and the wrinkles because the muscle is not what? under tension.
Hmm.
So now the Botox makes the disconnect where the muscle can no longer respond to your judging or criticizing. And so now the muscle is nice and smooth and toned. So your face looks nice and smooth and toned, but otherwise everything will be drooping because when that muscle has to constantly stay under tension because of your chronic opinions and judgments, et cetera, it causes a disharmony, a dissimilarity in the face. It interrupts the contours of the face, et cetera. And so we call that, you know, the formation of what they call those crow's feet and all these pulls and tucks and all those different things that are due to the muscles that are under constant tension because of the constant criticism and judging that the tissues have to respond to because you are not focused on what it is you want to achieve and can walk through your life having no opinion on anything else other than what you are interested in achieving at the moment. So I would, you know, I would want to say that you're now interested in learning how you can keep your thoughts centered in such a way where you don't automatically return to your habit of having an opinion on everything that manifests in front of you. And one of the things that really helps to allay that readiness to classify and divide everything is to learn the laws that sustain the order of this planet. We call them universal laws. Those are the same laws that keep Mars and Mercury and Jupiter and Saturn from crashing into each other. And the way that they influence matter, including ourselves, is a very non-opinionated observation of letting matter be what it is. Just accepting things as they are. And understanding that that's how they are, and this is what I am moving toward. This is what I want to accomplish today, this week, next week, etc. Everything else, it's what it is, and I choose only to focus my neurons on what it is that I'm committed to wanting to experience. I'm just an observer otherwise. So most people do not know how to go through their life and be an observer. And it's difficult to be an observer when you don't understand what you're seeing, when you don't understand the order of how that experience came about. Because what we've been taught is either there's a champion and there's a loser, or that there's a victimizer and a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how everybody's walking around seeing their life, but then what are they doing? They are making judgments and criticisms.
Then the muscles fall away from the bones and we age and so on and so forth. So
yeah,
we have to learn to
destroy the quality of the stream of life, which is the bloodstream, because you keep it loaded with attitudes of polarity.
Mm-hmm.
Polarity, you have to remember now, dismantles. It separates things. It doesn't bring about congruity and harmony and unity. You have to remember that. So every time you say this is good or bad, you've polarized something. You brought it, you separated it. You didn't bring it together. Every time it's positive or negative, you separate it. You didn't bring it together. Every time you said it's good or bad, you brought about the polarity. You didn't see the harmony. See, by you not being willing to see harmony, that is just what it is, now also changes the chemistry of your blood, and it becomes disharmonious based on what you said it was. You see disharmony, the bloodstream becomes disharmonic.
Absolutely. Someone wrote here in the chat room, Dr. Jewel, does that include being neutral on social issues?
Well, social issues are created by everyone who's involved in a social issue. There's no victims. And when you know universal law, you would know that. So you can stand there and watch everyone involved recognizing that they participated with the use of their mind and the use of their brain and body to help create the environment that they're interacting in. And so any one of those individuals can change your thinking, and they will immediately change that entire experience. And you'll observe it and see a change.
So the moods and attitudes and temperaments, and when folks say, speak to the hand, that's doing more detriment to you individually because
always
of the
mood. First, the person who goes and decides to become divisory, to become polarized, always gets the first dose from their own brain made by their own neurons first.
Right.
So what they have seen in their mind to do unto others first is done unto them via their own brain. Amazing. And just think about all the thoughts and the judgments and criticisms that they may have and don't take any action on. So they make sure then that all of the divisory results happens to them and them only. So people say, yeah, this is what I thought, and I would have said this, and I would have done this, et cetera, but I didn't say nothing. I just kept it to myself. Good. So, you know, you just, you know, infused your blood with all of that drama, polarized thinking, et cetera. Your blood chemistry went way, way, way off. And how many
days? Well, you said nothing and not.
Right. And how many days is it going to take for your bloodstream to return to neutral because of that? See, people are not recognizing any of this. So this huge disconnect between how they as a consciousness interact with their brain, with their body, et cetera, is totally what causes them to lose the very thing that makes them in this dimension so wonderful, that they have a physical body. They lose it because they don't have the owner's manual. They don't know how to use it appropriately so that they can get what they want when they want it. You have a avatar, a body that can last for thousands and thousands of years, but you do not know how to use it properly, and the overlay of the type of thinking that you do, what you release from the mind into the brain, has been very destructive to the body. Can you imagine, obviously, what Mr. Cheney must be thinking? That, you know, what has he had, 5 or 6 heart attacks, et cetera, and they're trying to figure out what they can do to, you know, help his heart at this point, all the grafts that he's had and all these things, and he just continues to create a bloodstream that continuously dismantles his tissues.
Here's a thought for you, Dr. Jewel. One of my people told me, I was telling them about being immortal and our cells are immortal, you know, by evidence of the HeLa cells or Henrietta Lack, and she came back at me like, oh, why would I want to be immortal anyhow?
Well, obviously, here we go with, you know, attitude and aging.
Mm-hmm.
So just how she stated that means that she definitely is an AA individual. She has an attitude that promotes aging. Okay, and she's already made some clear decisions about the fact that the experiences that she's creating for herself are not exciting. They're not wholesome for her. They basically are not bringing joy into her life. They're not satisfying. And the attitude appears to be one that she doesn't recognize or know, nor has she made a decision that she's going to get further information so that they can be. That she's really resolved that this is how it is, and, you know, you just kind of get by every day until one of the major organs of the body becomes so dysfunctional till it basically shuts down, and then she's out of the body, and she's okay with that, even though she doesn't even know what she's okay with.
Here's another question.
Yeah, again, it's a lack of information, and it's about her not having a focus. The person like this, they need to be asked, what is it that would bring you the greatest joy in life and that you would want to get up every morning to participate in creating, to experience? What is it? And see, nobody's really obviously asked her that question. Or if they have, her conclusion was such that she did not know that she could have it, let alone believe that she could have it if she was willing to stop being opinionated and just take action to align herself as a mind with her brain so that the body could then align, so that the mind could, the brain could then align the body so that she could see straight away how she could now have what it is that she envisions. She's not willing to move into that level of self-awareness, self-education, and self-alignment.
Yes, living my life like it's golden. 45 minutes past top of the hour. You are listening to Dr. Jewel's Hour right here on the Jewel Network, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living. Make sure you tell all your people on Facebook and tweet and Gmail and everybody else, tell them to tune in, get, because you can't get this knowledge and information nowhere else in the galaxy but right here on the JewelNetwork.com via Blog Talk Radio. Yes, I'm the co-host, Brother R.A. And there is a question, Dr. Jewel, in the chat room. Someone was asking about question about tattoos and their effect on melanin.
Well, they're pigments, just like melanin is. They aren't biological pigments in that they aren't living, but once they're absorbed by melanin, melanin will empower them with light, with energy. So therefore, they will be energized by the energy that melanin contains. So I think more so than being concerned about the effect on melanin, it's more so what was the mind of that individual trying to portray to the body that it, again, wanted to brand it, okay, or to market it in such a way as though it is not already branded and marked by the consciousness of the individual. So what was it that it was trying to say or to exhibit that it felt that it couldn't use its own mouth and hands and body to express?
Interesting. So I interpret that as, what was the purpose for the tattoo? Because it was the mindset that made you think that you didn't have enough color, so you knew you wanted some ink on you.
Well, not even necessarily, you know, whatever color the tattoo may be. I've seen some very beautiful expressions of art that have been applied on the skin. You know, in Polynesia, the history of the people was carried on the skin. And so, therefore, you know, the princesses, the chiefs and chieftains, et cetera, all had the history permanently of their village placed upon their skin. So it's kind of an interesting way of carrying the information in your brain, because the skin is an outer brain.
Right.
Okay. So it's kind of interesting when you look at it from a physiological, scientific perspective. But in the ancient times when those tattoos were placed on the body, the history was told, the music was sung, the ink was, you know, made sacred and prayed over, and even the technique, the individual who inlaid the tattoo in the skin literally went into trance, so that every hit of that hammer to that piece of bone or whatever that they may be using had intent. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it was indelibly written upon your brain, literally. So I think that that whole understanding was lost. And so it's now moved to a level where it's gotten to be quite social, and it deals with a whole level of thinking that is very, very different than the original intent of having a body that exhibited that this literally was indelibly written, the memory, the history, not only on the body, but also on the brain, and also literally on the souls of those individuals.
Wow. That's really beautiful to know that we have that kind of connection, that we can get that deep into ourselves. But let me also let folks know that if you have questions and you have called up, you can raise your hand just by pressing the number 1. And for those that want to call in, the number is 347-215-9531, 347-215-9531. And if you have a question, raise your hand by hitting number 1 or write it in the chat room. And please do let more folks know. And let's go to the phone lines. I do see you there, 708 area code. We're coming to you. You're live with Dr. Jewel during Dr. Jewel Hour. What you got to say?
Greetings. And I'd like to say I really appreciate Dr. Jewel. And I've been wanting to meet her a lot of years. I have two issues and express a concern. I have sarcoidosis and also have gum disease, and I want to know what can I do to rid myself of these diseases or diseases.
I didn't hear the first one. I heard gum disease, but what's the other disorder?
Sarcoidosis.
Oh, sarcoidosis. Okay. Yeah, that sarcoidosis is very interesting. You know, I always looked at it as kind of a catch-all disorder that they really didn't really understand what it was. And so they just kind of watched the person deteriorate and degenerate and dissolve. And, you know, steroids were offered, et cetera, but they really couldn't make the diagnosis. I thought it was significant that it also occurs most commonly in melanated dependent, melanin-dependent individuals, and we see it most common also in individuals who have a origination in consciousness and locale this lifetime from the South.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point they were thinking that maybe it was an allergic reaction due to the resin from the pine trees, et cetera, so many more pine trees in the South. But as I've really begin to observe the neurologic relationship between the mind, the brain, and the body, I recognize that this is a form of self-rejection, that these individuals are really having a combat, literally, between complete self-acceptance of self, because the autoimmune disorder totally dismantles and destroys the immune system. The tissues actually begin to degenerate within themselves. Their own immune system turns against their own tissues, especially in the respiratory centers, the spleen, that kind of thing. So this interpretation for me is an individual who is really continuously in battle in having a loving relationship with self. So, of course, you know, the medical institution has not done a psychological evaluation and has not employed counseling or what I call lifestyle support and really helping these individuals to go back in their past, in their childhood, and see when and where they made a declaration that there was something really wrong with them that they would not accept about themselves or forgive about themselves. Now, in relationship to gum disease, you know, I've always seen mouth disease being associated with individuals who are quite judgmental, quite critical, and quite intense in expressing these polarized thoughts. So it seems as though their willingness to express these highly polarized, opinionated thoughts creates a resonance, a frequency across this oral cavity. The mouth has been created to be a resonance chamber that gives the individual the capacity to resonate the frequency of thought that they are entertaining in this chamber to be released out into the universe. And when this resonance chamber is misused by projecting and releasing into the universe polarity, energies, frequencies, words that separate and divide, that again, the tissues in this cavity are the first to be bombarded with this very harsh and divisatory energy, and the tissues over time, when this is repetitively done, begin to degrade and to disintegrate. And so obviously the teeth break down, as well as the supporting tissue around the teeth, which are the gums. So obviously anything that's deteriorating is returning back to its original state, and all cells of the body originate from single-cell organisms known as bacteria, rickettsia, and viruses. So a virus is actually a premortal or a primordial form of human tissue, as well as bacteria, and the people don't know this.
So it is
the original primordial cells that are responsible for us as a community of more evolved cells to exist, known as the human body. But you are built upon the backs of bacteria, viruses, and then the smaller particle organisms known as rickettsia. So it's a degenerative state that you're experiencing with the gums, and it originates from a polarized thinking that is then communicated via the brain to the tissues chemically, and those chemicals maintaining a polarized state of blood quality then cause the tissues to degenerate, because the tissues are not allowed in a polarized blood chemistry to regenerate.
So